But it's also a passage that tells us not to be afraid. And there is a lot for us to be afraid of in today's world. There's a lot for us to fear. And there's a lot of people that want you to stay afraid. Fear and worry change your behavior, and they change our focus. When you're afraid of something, you actually think more of it. You think more of what you're going to do. Those who are hungry think about food. Those who are afraid of violence start to begin to see and look around them. They start to look at other people as if they're enemies. Fear and worry cause you to avoid, defer, or rely on other people in odd and strange ways. Believe it or not, fear also can motivate religious reliance, which is one of the odd things about Jesus telling his disciples not to be afraid. Because many religious leaders want you to be afraid. Because the more you're afraid, the more you'll rely on them. This is one of the weird understandings of religion and faith in Jesus. Religion might call people to be afraid for their future and so turn to God. Jesus tells us to not be afraid of your future because you can trust in God. There's a distinction, and that distinction is extraordinarily important. Jesus is telling us that we have a God that we can trust, that doesn't seek our harm, and that does not want us to feel like we are in danger. Now, I'm afraid of a lot of things. You probably are as well. But the number one thing for me to be afraid of is heights. One of the things that I've been afraid of since I was a kid, some of it is because, to be blunt, my father was afraid of heights. We pass on our fears to our children. And whenever I would see my father get up on our roof, now our roof was a ranch house. It wasn't a roof that you would be afraid of. But my father got on that roof like if falling off would destroy him. And so guess what? I learned that fear. I became afraid of heights at a young age. And as I got older, I discovered that if I didn't overcome my fear of heights, I would pass it on to my children as well. One day that I had to overcome fear was a day in which my child wanted to ride a ride at Kings Island. It was the bungee ride that was in the center of the park, and my Chris wanted desperately to ride it. I told him he could, and then when I got to the vendor and I went to pay the money, he told me that my son was too small to ride it alone. Now, what he should have said is, your son is too small to ride. But what he said was, alone, which meant that he could ride it if Dad went with him. Now, Dad did not want to go with him. But Dad was now stuck. You know that place where you're stuck as a father and a child, where you've promised something and now you have it within your grasp? They know that you can do it, and backing away means you just didn't care to do it. I said, sure. Now, the bungee ride was one of these rides where what they did was they actually pulled you backward. They strapped me in with my son. I'm literally like holding him, okay? I think he was actually front to front, okay? And so they tied us together, and they cranked us up way, way high into the park. And then they let us go. And it felt like a free fall until the bungee started pulling us forward. And then we went flying through the air like Superman. And then we came back, and we did it again. And the whole time, I was terrified. And I remember in the midst of the ride just thinking, we'll survive this, and don't scream like a girl, okay? We survived it, and that's all I'm going to say. I had to hold on to him and pretend like I was not afraid for him or for myself. I also had to just simply trust that the ride was safe. And this is something that's difficult because when you're in that circumstance, you can't do anything about what's happening around you. You can't, let's say the word together, you can't control it. And part of what fear is fear and worry are about being in control. They're about our inability to control things. And when we can't control a circumstance or a situation, then we will naturally go to fear and worry. What God is trying to tell us and what Jesus is trying to preach in this passage is to trust that God is in control. Now, my son had a great time. Chris thought it was a scream. And there were two things that Chris had going for him. The one was that Chris enjoyed the rush of the moment. He was a child. And children just enjoy it. They don't know the danger they're in. Okay? They just don't. But there was a second thing that Chris had that I didn't. Or at least I didn't think I did. Chris had his father holding on to him. And the biggest thing about having your father holding on to you is that when your father's holding on to you, guess what you feel? Safe and in control. Now, that safety and in control understanding is something that is given from one person to the other. When dad's driving through the snowstorm, for some reason you feel like you can sleep. When you're driving, you're terrified. When dad's in control, you know you're in good hands. And this is the lesson for the scripture today. Our Father in heaven is in control. And part of what we have to do is we have to live like that's true. We have to trust that that is true. As a nation, as a people, and as a church, we often grow afraid because we don't control our future. But God does. Our fear of lack of control is in reality a fear that is bound in our lack of faith. As the church has grown farther away from God, as we no longer feel God's hands around us, we become afraid of how we're living. There's an answer. There's a way through this, and that is to get close to God once again. Let God wrap God's arms around us, and let God make us feel safe in his arms. You know that old song, he's got the whole world in his hands? Guess what? God does. God has you in the palm of his hands, and he's holding you lovingly. Whatever will befall you, if you trust in God, you will be safe. But our safety is also contingent on our understanding of what God wants to give us. The world is offering something different from what the gospel offers. And the gospel offers us peace, even in dangerous times. The gospel offers us life, even if death would befall us. The gospel shows to us love in a world filled with hate and persecution. We want the world, but God is offering God's love, God's peace, God's life, God's success. The question that the church has to answer is whether we will be faithful and live without fear. When I live without fear, I act as my Father commands. When I'm afraid, I change my behaviors and I do what the world expects. Part of my fear today was wearing shorts. It's weird what you're afraid of. What are you afraid of? And how can you look to the Lord to give you strength and peace and confidence in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit? Let us pray. Loving God, You have given to us Your love, Your Spirit, and Your salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have told us that we will live even if we die. You have told us that You will provide for us. And over again, You show us that it's true. You give us strength in times of weakness. You give us peace in times of stress. You comfort us. You provide for us. You care for us. You've died for us. And You live in us. Help us to avoid fear and to live in Your peace. Bless Your church and give us confidence in You, so that we may know that our future is bright and that our future is secure in You, in Your love, and by Your salvation. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, Your Son who died for us and who rose on the third day, showing us that even death could not break Your peace and stop Your life. In Jesus' name we pray it all. Amen.